Churchill and his V-sign become a symbol of resistance against Nazi Germany. In Germany, in February 1942, Armaments Minister Albert Speer has the job of making sure that there's a steady supply of prisoners of war to man the plants and factories, at the same time as the SS are on a killing spree. But Speer isn't saving prisoners' lives. Men, women, and children are worked to death producing weapons for the German army. Churchill was a true hero, and Speer a nasty villain. Or were they? Churchill had racist views, while Speer defied Hitler at risk to his own life and saved Germany's infrastructure. This issue gets up close to World War II's greatest personalities. Happy listening. Chapter 1. Dictator murdered his officers. Soviet leader Joseph Stalin saw enemies everywhere. It led him to embark on a large-scale cleansing that would eliminate anyone who could threaten his power. But in his eagerness to remove any threat to his own life, his country and his army ended up with disastrous results. The October Hall in the Union House in central Moscow was once the setting for magnificent celebrations. Between the elegant white columns and delicate pale blue walls, the ladies and gentlemen of the Russian nobility met to dance and make polite conversation. But on 24th of August 1936, the beautiful hall was host to a different, more somber event. 16 men stood in judgment, accused of murder, treason, and an attempted coup. In front of an audience of more than 350 citizens and a wide array of international media, the prosecution presented the overwhelming evidence, after which the accused, repentant and humble, confessed their crimes. They admitted to being traitors and scum who deserved to be shot. Despite their actions, they all swore allegiance to Stalin. Most heartbreaking were the words of Lev Kamenev, who, together with Grigory Zinoviev, was the main accused, and he concluded his confession with, "Whatever my judgment, in advance I consider it fair." Kamenev directed his speech to his children, as he knew he would never see them again. "Do not look back. Go forward with the Soviet people. Follow Stalin," he added, then collapsed at the table, his face buried in his hands. Kamenev's words were merely a repetition of the propaganda slogans he had heard again and again over the past year. But the counsel to follow Stalin contained a chilling truth. Over the following 2 years, anyone who did not follow the line that Stalin had set out, or was simply suspected of not wanting to follow it, could be tortured and dragged to the court. The outcome was a death sentence or, at best, deportation to the Soviet state labor camps in Siberia. Historians believe that more than 1.7 million of Stalin's enemies, imagined or real, perished or were deported in mass murder known as the Great Purge. It was ironic that Kamenev and Zinoviev were Stalin's first targets. 12 years earlier, when revolutionary leader Lenin died, the two supported Stalin against rival Leon Trotsky, who was regarded as Lenin's natural successor. Thanks to Kamenev and Zinoviev, Stalin became the nation's leader. Stalin sent Trotsky into exile and began his great plan that would transform the Soviet Union, which was then a backward agricultural country, into one of the world's leading industrial nations. Magnificent plan failed. The plan was, however, not quite as the Soviet leader intended. To enhance agricultural efficiency so it could feed the many industrial workers, Stalin displaced millions of peasants and forced them into collective farms. The heavy-handed methods led to a massive famine in which at least 6 million perished. In industry, Stalin pushed on with his inflated 5-year plan to the utmost, to the detriment of both health and property. From 1932 to 1934, there was growing criticism of Stalin. A pamphlet published by a party faction even said that Stalin was